Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand, please? Don't sit there without Bible, please. Right there. Chapter 16 of Genesis, first book of the Bible. While you're turning, listen to me, please. I don't know about you, if you're like me, because I'm a very impatient person, and, you know, I tend to drive a little faster. Okay, I admit, I drive real fast. When I get into the Tucson during my errand day, which is normally Tuesday, I wait until Tuesday to do all my errand. And I look for the lane that make me to go a little, you know, advanced. In other words, fast. So I get in the lane, but the person in front of me has a different mindset. You know what I'm talking about. I think my 92 years old mother can ride a bicycle faster than that person. And she doesn't know how to ride a bike. So I change the lane. Somehow, that person duplicate himself to my lane. It's another guy driving 20 miles per hour in 45 miles per hour zone. So I'm thinking, I can run over this guy with my big truck. So I'm kind of inching over to him, and then I see the TPD cruiser pulling up next to me. Okay, I behave myself. But I've been in Tucson, lived in Tucson for 24 years, so I thought, I know my way around, so I'll look for the detour. So I get into detour, and then what do you know? There's a road construction. 12 guys standing, there are 12 construction workers, and 10 of them standing under the shade, smoking and joking. And 2 of them standing each side of the end of the road construction with a sign, slow. What is there to slow about it? They're not working. This is not my day. Why that this detour is supposed to be helping me, not slow me down? Somebody who is wise said this. In most cases, detour is worse than main road. See, in the Bible, somehow we think that God helps those who help themselves. Okay, here's the deal. If you can find that verse printed in your Bible, I'll give you $20. It's printed. I'm not saying you write them down. Print it as a verse in your Bible. I'll give you $20. I'm not joking. This is a reward for you. You don't think I would give you $20 unless I'm positive, right? If you can, we are thinking that if we can help ourselves, then it will be good. Then God will reward me. As a matter of fact, God is opposite. God will reward those who completely depends on Him. If we help ourselves, God doesn't get the glory. We get the glory. So God says, no help wanted, the sign comes up. All right? He wants us to depend on Him. This morning, we are going to find out that two people decide that they're going to help God out. Because God is now fulfilling His promise. So why don't we help him out? Even though they were told that God will fulfill His promise. In my opinion, chapter 16 is one of the most painful detours of Abraham's life. And that problem is not just happening in a conflict in his own home, also it affects everyone in this room in the current date. If I can say in a few words, Israel-Arab conflict. I'll give you more information pretty soon. So we'll start from verse 1 of chapter 16 and we will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking you to open our heart to receive your word, your truth. So if we detoured into the place where we should not be in, guide us to the place where your main truth is. Main road, your truth, your will. And give us insight, give us wisdom not to do that again. Let us learn from the Abram's and Sarai's mistake. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne in him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heard the voice of Sarai. Would you underline, Abram heard the voice of Sarai. And then Sarai, Abram's wife, took the Hagar, her maid, and the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt in 10 years in the land of Canaan. One of the principal themes of the Genesis is about the childbearing, especially having a son. See, in this day, at that time, this is a big thing. If the woman is barren and could not have a child, that is a shameful thing at that time. And especially it cannot bring forth the heir, the son, in the family. If this woman does not have, wife does not bring forth the child, then she can be subject of divorce, literally. And that's not just the Middle East, it happened in Asia, Far East Asia too. My mother was kicked out from her first marriage because she couldn't have a child. When she had a second marriage, here I am. Obviously, it was not the woman's fault, it was the guy's fault, but guess what? The woman gets the blame in most cases. And this is the general practice. Semitic people's, Semitic tribes' general practice, if they cannot find, the wife cannot have a child, they will find somebody else to do the, become a surrogate mother, to bore the child, to buy, bear the child, and then inherit the heritage. Why did God wait so long? God wanted Abraham and Sarah to be physically, practically good as dead. Word of God says. That way, nobody can claim that. Nobody can claim that in any man's effort got involved. So at age 85, Abraham was still capable to father a child through Hagar. So God did not want this miracle child, Isaac, to come in when Abram was capable. We should remember that it is through faith and patience we can see the fulfillment of God's promise. God's timing is as important as, listen carefully, God's timing is as important as God's call and God's will. God's timing is as important as God's will and God's call. God's perfect timetable is never late or never early. And it's for His glory. Sarai is not concerned about God's glory. What is she concerned about? I want a child at any cost. Since God is not fulfilling His promise, I'm going to help Him out. See, this is the problem. She's taking a detour. Remember what I said at the beginning? She's taking a detour with her own effort. If she gets the child, guess what? God doesn't get the glory. She gets the glory. Abram gets the glory. This is the mess they're going to cause. By the way, this morning's title is Apathy plus Man's Solution equal What a Mess. Isn't that true? So, and if you notice the chapter 16, verse 2, since God restrained me from having a child, did you notice there's a little hint of blaming? God is not doing this. I got to do something about it. And, of course, Satan will be there, then right there to whisper to her ear, yeah, God is holding on you. So do something about it. Blaming God. Sarah probably felt that she had to do something, as I said before, and it's wrong, wrong, wrong. Folks, if you think that God is not doing something, let's say you are in the financial bind. Instead of waiting upon God, instead of thinking that believing that God will provide all your need according to His riches in glory, and guess what? I'm going to pull that little little plastic and I can go like this and I can get money. Do you know how many enlisted Davis Monson Air Base soldiers, I'm sure you read an article, are in a financial bind? They have a good job. It's not a high-paying job, but they have a very stable job. Yet they are financial bind. Why? Because they could not wait upon God. They just do it by themselves. Pay their loan. It's a legalized loan shark. Don't use it. And credit card is the same thing. 23%, 29% interest rate, it will kill you. I know, because I was there. I didn't depend on God. See what happened. With willing to wait upon the Lord is evidence of our walking by faith. And whenever we stop trusting God, when we start to make our own decision, our own solution, we get into the mess. Let's go to the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Of course, many of you know this verse by heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you don't know this verse, let this verse be your guide. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It reads, there's a little page number. If you got the handout Bible, you can use that number. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. Let's go to one more verse. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews, look at it. Way in the back of the New Testament, right before James. Hebrews 11:6. It's another important verse for you to memorize. The first portion, what does it say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Got that? Without faith, without trusting Him, His promise, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. That's another promise from God. God does not have a suggestion box, folks, in front of Pearly Gate. And we, however, even though He does not have a suggestion box, we are trying to give Him suggestion. If you're like me, we try to give Him counsel. This is the God who knows all things. He knows the future. He knows everything about us, everything about in the universe. Yet, we try to give Him advice with our puny brain. That helps a lot, right? But that's our idea. Because He does not do the things the way we want, our time, the things what I want or you want. So we try to tell Him what to do. That's not going to fly with God. And by the way, when we give Him God advice, guess what He does? Thanks, no thanks. So don't even bother. I tried it many times. Verse 4. So he went into the Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai had said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you." Who's blaming whom now? "I give my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge you between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, then she fled from her presence. It's been more than 10 years since God promised that Sarai and Abram will have a child. 10 years is a long time, let's face it. We might be pious and say, well, they have supposed to wait upon God. But if it's our case, if we have to wait 10 days, guess what? We start to twitch, don't we? Don't give me that pious look. You do the same thing I do. We might say the holy things, we might say this wonderful biblical things to other people, but when it comes to our own situation, it's a different story. 10 years is a long time. However, let's face it, the 10 years of long waiting period tend to discourage people and make the person to be vulnerable. And we tend to come up with our own solution. And what he doesn't know is that there's 13 more years to go. After this, there's 13 more years to go. When we impatiently try to help God out, we accomplish nothing. Literally accomplish nothing. And even prolong the situation. If I make an example, Jacob. He's supposed to get his birthright. He's supposed to get the blessing from God himself through his father, Isaac. Guess what he did? Connived. He wheel and dealing, and he tried to steal the birthright from his brother Esau. Guess what happened to him? He had to live in exile for how long? 25 long years. God told Moses that he's going to be the one who's going to lead the people out of the Egypt, Exodus. So Moses, hey, I graduated the best college from the Egypt. I can help God out. So what did he do? He murdered this guy. And he couldn't even hide the guy in the sand. But when God helped him, of course he ended up in the wilderness for 40 years tending somebody's sheep. They are not even his sheep. But when God got involved, he buried the entire Egyptian army under the sea. See the difference? When the one person tried to do it with his own strength, he couldn't even bury the one dead body. But when God got involved, he buried the entire Egyptian army. Why are we trying to do the things the way we're trying to do it? Because we are so impatient. Let's go on. Let's go to the verse 1 of Psalm 1:1. Psalm 1:1. Abram should not have listened to his wife's ungodly counsel. If this woman is giving godly counsel, you should, husband, listen. But when the woman, your wife, is giving ungodly counsel, you should ignore it. You should take spiritual leadership at home. This is not only just woman, your wife or your spouse, anyone. If folks, listen, everybody look at me, please. Listen carefully. This is a great advice to you. So listen up. Do not ask counsel or wisdom from non-Christian. What you will get is based on their idea, worldly concept. You will not get anything good out of them. Okay? Do you know where you can get the best counsel? Right here. This book. Better than anyone else. Better than pastor, better than counselors. You get it out from here. Verse 1 of chapter 1 in Psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of godly. Underline, walk in the counsel of godly. And put number 1, please. Nor stand in the path of sinner. That's number 2. Number 3 is sit in the seat of the scornful. See how the progression happens? Walking and stand and sitting. If you receive ungodly counsel from somebody, you will start to get hook, line, and sinker. Do not take ungodly counsel. Ignore it, walk away from it. Abraham just got in from the bad situation to the worst situation. Now, he just made this woman get pregnant, and she's showing attitude to her mistress. So mistress got ticked, and she said, well, do something about this, husband. And now he's sticking his leg out and said, I don't know about it. You do it. If he was man enough to get this woman pregnant, he shouldn't be man enough to take care of it. Side note. There's guys who make a woman get pregnant out of wedlock. I have a problem with them, especially when they don't take care of that woman and the child. And they say, well, I'll give you money so you can have abortion. Number 1, that's a murder. Number 2, as I said before, if you are man enough to get that woman pregnant, be a man enough to take care of that kid and woman. Especially, let me put it this way. Let's say that man is a Christian and fell in sin, had sex with this woman and got pregnant. However, that woman is not a Christian. Is he supposed to get married because to take care of the woman? Uh-uh. That's another sin. Take care of the woman, take care of the kid, but he doesn't have to get married. Isn't that a little bit cold? It's better than sinning against God on top of everything. You follow me? And some of you may disagree. That's okay. But I'm telling you the truth from the Word of God. Word of God says, do not be unequally yoked. Let me say another thing. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully, please. Nowadays, a lot of men in American born-again Christian home tend to become spiritual wimp like this Abram. Instead of taking in charge in the spiritual things in the at home, they'd be taking the back seat and let the wife take the leadership role. That is wrong. That's going against the command of God. We are to be the spiritual priest at our home, not woman. I'm not trying to be male chauvinist pigs. Okay? Let's get it right. The Word of God says he put the seniority and responsibility on man, husband, not woman. That's why it says, the Bible never says about woman to love man. They know how to love man. But it says, submit. I know the ladies say, submit. Do you know how old that language is? Well, Bible doesn't care. Bible is not politically correct book. And I am not either. Ladies, you are supposed to submit to your husband. Until he goes to the place where he is completely out of line with God's word. Then it's a different story. But otherwise, you have to submit to the husband. Somebody asked, what if my husband asked me to go to the strip bar with him? Smack him on the side of his head. That's not a godly thing. When it's the godly things, when it's the difference in opinion, you submit. God will honor you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 says, I'll just read it to you. Wives, submit to your husband, your own husband, as to the Lord. To be worthy of a wife's submission, gentlemen, you are to stay in the Word. You are to be submissive to the Word of God. Then it's automatic things. The woman will respect you and submit to you. You cannot demand submission. You have to earn it through the Word of God. This situation also reminds me about the deadbeat fathers. As I said before, those people have to take care of their pregnant woman and the kid. When a spiritual person exercises apathy like Abram is doing it and coming up with a human solution, the problem goes worse and worse. Let's continue in verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord, underline the angel of the Lord, please, found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid. Note that, please, Sarai's maid. It did not say Hagar, Abram's second wife. In God's eyes, this is not what he wanted. So he still could call her as Sarai's wife. Maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. This is the first appearance of the God, Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. It's more correct translation should be the messenger of the Lord. And in fancy word is Christophany. This is temporary body God, the Jesus Christ, achieved and is showing himself to those who need his help. we will see him more in as we study more in the Genesis. And this is a typical characteristic of Jesus Christ. He's out there looking for the lost and extending his grace and mercy. God is telling, that Jesus is telling Hagar to go back to this the mistress of Sarai with a submission. Probably Hagar is thinking, I like the second opinion on that. Now, I really don't like that, but since God appeared to her, she's become submissive. Verse 10, then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly. This is a very important verse, so pay attention, please. So that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with a child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael. Underline Ishmael, please. Because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man, and some of you are virgin. NIV has said a wild donkey. That's a good translation. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then God told her that she was pregnant with a son, and his name shall be called Ishmael, which means God hears. God hears. While he would not be Abraham's heir and a blessing according to God's will, but Ishmael will enjoy the blessing from God because he is a son of Abraham. Now, let's think about it in current events. This Ishmael is the ancestor, the main ancestor of all the Arab nation. Okay? He's the ancestor of all the Arab nation. And when you look at the Quran, you will see the Ishmael as their ancestor. And Abraham is the patriarch of that ancestor. So they're thinking that we are coming from the same tree. No, we are not. The difference between Christianity and Islam is Christianity coming from Isaac, the God's will. That they're coming from the man's will, Hagar and Ishmael. This man is called, according to word, a wild man. And NIV says a wild donkey of the man. In my opinion, if somebody called me, you're a wild donkey of man, I'd say, well, I don't think that description is flattering. It is not. It is not to be as a flattering description. He's a man with a defiant attitude. He's a very independent man. And whole generation, whole descendant are the same characters. Every man's hands are against him and his hands against every man. How many countries around the world cause so much trouble like Arab nations and still get by? On top of all, they are the one who get blessing. They have a wealth of oil that literally controls world economy. There's only one race, Arab race, because they're the descendant of Ishmael and Abraham's son. Making sense? You know, I don't know about you. Whenever I go through the airport security check, I'm not trying to make a racial profiling. I cannot help to think about these people, which terrorists. If you look at them, every one of them are Arab people. Every one of them involved with Islam. Every one of them is involved with Muslim culture. India, they are wild donkey of man, and their hands against everyone, and everybody's hand against them. Especially to the Jewish people, again, and also the whole allies, like the United States, infidel. Let's continue in verse 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees, and for she said, Have I also here seen him who sees me? Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Observed, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So the Hagar bore Abram's son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Ishmael is the first man whose name, his name was named before his birth. If you seek to change our circumstance without God's guidance, we will jump into from the frying pan into the fire. It is not change of circumstance we need, but we need a change of our heart. One, our human mindset wants to run away from this difficult situation, but God said, stay where you are. I will be with you. We will go through together. His promise is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Psalm 23 is, we find, he walks through the valley of shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for you are what? With me. He doesn't leave us. Folks, it's not a change of circumstance that will help us. Change of our mindset will help us. Being obedient to him. Let's make an application. Number one, willingness to wait on the Lord is evidence that we are walking by faith. Willingness to wait on the Lord is evidence that we are walking by faith. Let's go to Isaiah 40:31, my favorite verse. If I can choose one verse, this is the verse. Isaiah 40:31. Some of you guys memorized this verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength, mount up the wings like an eagle. They shall walk, not be weary. They shall walk, they shall run, not faint. Please memorize this verse. It's a great verse to memorize. And one more verse, Galatians 6:9. This is another great verse. Many times when I was going through a difficult time, feel like I'm in the tunnel, and the light in the tunnel is oncoming train, and this is the verse that kept me alive. Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Very important verse. Second application. We must know that God's delay is not a God's denial for our prayer. Yes, there is sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says simply wait. That waiting period is the training period for us. So when God says wait, don't fight for it. If you fight, as I said before, you're going to prolong the trial. Third application. Let us remember that whenever we run ahead of God, that spells trouble. Whenever we run ahead of God, that spells trouble. Our doubting mind loves to help God out, but true faith is shown in patience. Let's not mix faith and doubt and promise and self-effort. Let us not mix self-effort and promise in faith and doubt. They cannot coexist. Okay? Let's stand up and pray.